the bubble.
Hello and welcome to Burst of Bubble Live on CamFM. I'm Michael Quinterio, and joining me today are regular co-host Chris Moten.
Hello.
And our guest for this week, Jonathan Cairns.
Hello.
We talk about the more unusual news from the past week, and we're going to start by talking about robots.
That's right. First of all, this week we're going to talk about robotic street furniture. One of the more unusual variants on the robot theme. This one in particular is a set of benches which have been placed in public parks and other such sort of spots of great natural beauty around the country, and imbued with the voices of celebrities such as Stephen Fry and some others. Claudia Winkleman is another example of a celebrity whose voice has been given to the bench. And as I understand it, what happens is you plonk yourself down on the bench and it starts issuing a monologue about how wonderful is the thing that is in front of you.
It's not really street furniture if it's a place of natural beauty. I can't imagine there's like someone goes, oh wow, the view from this street is particularly glorious.
Well, equivalently, you might, like, if I dumped a double bed in a place of natural beauty, you'd be like, well, it's not really furniture, you know.
it could be street furniture in sort of the way that they talk, you know, Stephen Fry putting on a yo, here's some Keats for ya.
But it sounds to me something that is just horrifying, because what it's actually replicating is someone sneaking up on you as you're sitting down and starting making comments into your
head. But that person is Stephen Fry.
You say that Stephen Fry has just been stalking you.
I'd be alright. But that person is Stephen Fry.
You say that Stephen Fry has just been stalking you.
I'd be alright with that if I sat down on a bench and Stephen Fry went, may I read you this brief monologue that I have on the matter of natural beauty? And I'd be like, well, okay, no, fair enough. Carry on. I feel, as a national treasure, you've earned the right to this sort of peculiar park behaviour.
There is a quotation from Stephen Fry, who's voiced the bench at Felwig Hall. I think that makes it sound like the bench is a new character or something. It's like, voice a character of Nemo, voice a character of the bench at Felwig Hall.
The littlest bench that could.
that would be quite sweet, actually.
Very sweet story about a talking bench.
What could it do? I mean, does it like provide like support for the Queen in this story? Eventually, all the other seats mock it.
It's great ambition. One day, have only the best backside.
There's a malicious French chaise longue that shows up and like talks smack at him a bit.
Talks smack at him a bit. But that would. I think have a very particular demographic that would watch that, kids who are currently like, I don't know, had too much Calpol or something. And like, does too much Calpol take you out of it? I assume it would.
I can't say I've ever tried that.
It might take you into the afterlife. Does that count?
Oh. Well, I feel it should be like generic kids' medicine rather than just Calpol. But anyway,
CamFM endorses no particular magic sugar source for children.
But anyway, Stephen Fry's quote, I am very proud to be associated with a bench.
That's his big thing, really, isn't it? None of this Jeeves and Worcester rubbish.
It's like, I don't want to be associated with QI or Jeeves and Worcester. I want to be associated with a bench. Also, it sounds like one of those headlines you get in a tabloid. It's Stephen Fry associated with a bench.
Except they wouldn't be allowed to report on it. They had to replace his name with like SRZ or some other. Yeah, you get a super injunction out on the.
That in itself is the Stephen Fry robot. the SRZ 2000.
Yes, get carrying on. I hope I provide comfort, balm, and solace for many a weary bottom. You're getting confused, Mr. Fry. You're thinking that you are the bench. You're not going to providing balm and solace for many a weary bottom. Your voice is going to provide possibly balm and solace for the person sitting on the bench, not specifically their bottom. Unless the speaker's like actually inside the bench.
If you sat down and went, you know, oh, if only something would distract me from this terrible, terrible bottom doom. Oh good, it's Stephen Fry. No, never mind.
But,
so I wonder whether how smart are the benches going to be about, like, because clearly it has enough. There's enough sensing going on in order to figure out whether somebody is on the bench or not, so that Stephen Fry doesn't just witter to himself the entire night. It's just a series of confused tramps stare at it and try to find the well-known TV personality. But
a couple of pigeons get. But talk to by
what I wonder is, will it be able to tell the difference? For example, like, it would be quite useful if one person sits down, then Stephen Fry would go, "You know, I have an interesting story for you about natural beauty." And then when a second person sits down, he would go, "Oh, I'm terribly sorry, I didn't realize you had company." I didn't mean to interrupt.
I don't think making this weight sensitive would be a good idea.
I say, sir, why exactly are you storing heavy fixtures on this otherwise harmless bench? If this is a human being, I do sincerely apologize.
The benches have taken more than 6 months to make, and each one is engraved with 3 words their celebrity has used to describe their setting.
Ah, in a park.
Oh, it sounds like one of those horrible things that you occasionally get on application forms for, like, rarely jobs, but like definitely for game shows and stuff. Like, describe yourself in 3 words. It's like, no, describe a location in 3 words.
I'm a bench. Yeah, that's great. Well, we'll have you on next week.
You have actually been on several game shows.
Yes, I have.
You sound enthralled by this.
A Z-list celebrity.
So, yeah, how would you describe yourself in 3 words?
In 3 words?
you can't just say not in 3 words. It's your description.
I'd probably go with not a bench.
I'd go for regrettably still me.
I'd want to go with 3 words. the showing that we're all kind of like attempting to break away from like what we're normally expecting to write on these things.
I think shows individuality, maybe not the sort of individuality you want.
Well, these benches have taken more than 6 months to make. What were they? Are these like really massively over-engineered benches? How complicated is a sensor to say someone sat on this bench? I mean, a set of scales, right? That tells when something's on it, and it doesn't. I'm pretty sure sets of scales don't take 6 months to make.
Well, I think Stephen Fry is just such a massive perfectionist that he just had to keep redoing it. Like, you know, he's got to give these poets their dues. You've got to read it properly, you know.
And you've also got to do all sorts of security stuff, because, I mean, imagine if pesky rascally kids got their hands on the Stephen Fry button, and they, you know, they could then take it into town and attach it to some other item, like, say, a postbox. You would, like, then have the Stephen Fry postbox.
It's like you're thinking, pesky rascally kids. You've been watching too much Scooby Doo. No, these pesky rascally kids. There you go. If you would like to go and sit on one of these benches, there's Felwick Hall in Norfolk, Castle Ward, County Down, and lots of other places that I'm not actually going to go through because I've realised how many there are. But if you've got any suggestions for who you would like to hear, whose voice you'd like to hear emanate from a bench, and what you think would like them to hear them say,
and or what celebrity you would like to have hiding in the bushes behind you whilst you're on said bench,
what national treasure would you most like to be stalked by?
You can get in touch with us by email studio@camfm.co.uk, or by going onto the website www.camfm.co.uk and using the form on our live web player. Moving on to the other side of robots, we've had something nice and creative, and now we're turning to that other side of robots, destruction.
The dark side of robots.
Like Darth Vader as a robot.
Wasn't that... No, never mind. It seems redundant to robotify Darth Vader. If you were like the robot plumber with that job, you would just walk in and go, "Oh, I'm terribly sorry. I must have mixed up the schedule. I've clearly done this job previous to now. I'll be letting myself out."
Yeah, you just slag off the previous guy. Oh, somebody's really messed up all this. Botched the jobs, you know. Kidneys attached to livers and
makes this stupid ominous noise all the time.
Yeah.
That's actually just a fan grating that's they left closed. There you go.
Yeah, it just goes bomb, bomb, bomb. Fan grating. Moving on to the actual story. Apparently, a mobile home in Tennessee got set on fire accidentally by a heavily armed police robot firing advanced triple warhead gas grenades.
So it's worth pointing out that Warhead is an interesting, you know, this thing launched apparently the mistake it made is they intended to launch the triple chamber CS gas canister, a device which lets off a load of CS gas, gets incredibly hot, but then uses cunning mechanisms in order to prevent that hot from transferring itself to the building that surrounds it. So you're supposed to be able to use this in places where you might not want to burn the place to the ground, but you would quite like the occupants to leave. What they did instead was use the 3x1 chamber grenade, which is the one that just splits into three bits that do the getting incredibly hot thing without any particular regard for their surroundings. This is quite good for getting everybody to leave, both because it's all horrible and gassy and painful, and also because it's on fire. so having let that latter one loose where they intended the former, what you end up with is a robot that kind of on purpose accidentally burns somebody's house down.
And the even funnier thing is that the person who they were trying to get out of the house, who was supposedly like barricaded in there with very like guns and stuff, they actually managed to lose them during all the kerfuffle, possibly because they were trying to track him using a heat detecting camera.
Not going to be much use when there's a creeping inferno next to this guy.
The policeman running in immediately after the robot, like his trousers on fire, and then there's really only one priority. It's sort of like the police manual is that trousers on fire take priority above all other incumbent situations. So you can't blame them.
It's starting to sound like a Benny Hill sketch, just wandering around with his pants on fire.
I quite like the fact that his neighbour described this robot as launching a flaming javelin. Now, I personally quite like it if that's actually what they did. if they did, in fact, just carry around fairly innocuous sports equipment and lighter fluid, and that was the main way they went about their policing. Was what do you think we'll use for this one, Bob? Well, I was considering the discus of pain, but we might go for the 4x400 meter relay of suffering.
I like the idea of like lighted javelins just becoming a new Olympic event, because the problem with a lot of the Olympic events is you have to spend so much money on floodlights if you want to carry on doing them at night. But if you've got javelins of fire, then you don't need the floodlights.
Yeah, I mean, they already had this idea with chariots, though, I think. chariots of fire, that was...
Well, could you combine them?
If
you do a javelin of fire at a chariot of fire, that would be redundant. The chariot's already on fire. There's nothing to be gained.
I think we've taken this slightly suggestion slightly too far. Moving back to the actual news story, the manufacturer of the grenades that possibly got fired in there state that it should not be used indoors due to fire producing capability. I like the fact that it's just that you shouldn't use them indoors because they have the capability of producing fire. It's like, not they will produce fire if you fire them off. It's just like, well, they might produce a fire. They can produce a fire.
Well, I don't think that's the problem. I think it's the excessive fire-producing capability that's the problem. Because, you know, a match is perfectly sensible to use indoors, you know. Otherwise, every birthday you've got to go outside and it's all big kerfuffle, and especially, you know...
get one of those fire training kitchens that you get, that like get toted around office buildings to demonstrate like flash fires and so on. You have to install the cake in that before you can do it.
But one other thing about this story is that the guy did escape and then surrendered himself to police 2 days later, possibly like going, oh no, why have they come after me with that again? So it's like, in some sense, it's very effective. It's like you don't manage to catch them there and then because of the problems involved in your infrared and fire combination, but then they just turn up and surrender anyway.
So your strategy is that the criminal should think the police are insane. I'm just not prepared to go any more rounds with these guys, because even if they're not terribly effective, they're destructive.
You should cause enough psychological damage really to them. There's no hope. I just give myself up now.
If you've got any suggestions on how to catch criminals without burning down houses,
or athletic events that could be used to offensive purposes,
get in touch with us, studio@camfm.co.uk, or via the web form on www.camfm.co.uk.
We're going to take a brief musical break now, but we'll be back with more silly news just after this.
On air and online.
For students across Cambridge.
Your station. Your Cam FM.
Welcome back to First of All on Cam FM. We're talking about silly news, and in particular, we were talking about robots, robotic benches, and javelins of fire thrown by robots before the break, which was Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana. We've actually had a couple of emails. Firstly, James just saying, yay, robots. So we've got at least one happy listener there.
Right on. Good to see proper opinion.
And we've had a couple of suggestions. Someone suggesting we could bring back Michael Jackson to provide a voice for a bench.
That would at least allay your fears that they have snuck on up on you. Or if they have, it's really awesome.
The ghost. We have also got some suggestions for other Olympic events. There's the long jump of fire, which sounds frankly terrifying. I'm not sure whether that's jumping into, like, you know those firewalks that you can do. Is it kind of like you have to run along the hot coals before you jump? You're going, ah, ooh, ah, yeah,
and then jump over it.
Or is it like a hoop of fire you have to jump through?
Like, yeah. Riding a motorcycle through a flaming ring of fire or something like that.
I think it's not so much a long jump once you've got a motorcycle in it.
It just provides an incentive not to fail, really, doesn't it?
If you have just lit the pit on fire, then there's really quite... I mean, like, where you put the fire kind of changes the incentives. Like, you know, it could be that, you like the high jump, you know, you set the bar, as it were, and then you have to jump past the bar, or in this case, horrible flames. Or if the flames are at the end, then that's sort of a test of sort of mental fortitude, that you will fling yourself into a horrible conflagration in the name of athletic glory. The podium would just be like piles of ashes or something.
We've also had the suggestion, just follow the javelin of fire with the javelin of water, which would solve problems. Well,
assuming your aim's good enough.
Yeah, either you've got like one house on fire and one flooded.
Oops, sorry.
And another suggestion that a javelin of air would probably fly further, making the event more competitive. But I would disagree here, because I'd assume a javelin of air would be quite light. And, like, if you ever try to, like, throw one of those really, like, spongy balls, that doesn't get anywhere.
Well, so. I mean, surely the problem is scoring such a thing, you know. Where's it gone? Just some air somewhere. You're not going to be able to spot that on the field.
I think it's like air guitar, in the sense that it's not required to obey proper physics. Like, you could, like, the person with the guitar, with the air javelin, will just run down the range going, wee, before plonking their imaginary air javelin into the ground and go, yay, I'm the best.
In what senses do air guitars defy the laws of physics? I mean, it's kind of like, no one starts flying with their air guitar or something. You just pretend to play it.
They defy the laws of guitars. Guitar physics, the special branch of physics.
It depends on how fast you play, you know. Really fast, you know, defying the sort of the fire setting capability.
Oh god, imagine if you accidentally were through the javelin of fire and you thought you were going to throw a javelin of water to put it out, but instead you threw a javelin of air. It's giving extra oxygen to the fire.
Oh man. Well, you might blow it out if you were lucky.
Yeah, it's one of those 50-50 chances, really, isn't it?
The javelin of earth is probably what you want for this situation. I mean, ultimately, you know, if you liberally apply all the different classical elemental javelins, you'll probably end up extinguishing something.
What about a javelin of heart?
is that a... There's a fifth classical element and it's heart.
No, it's
I'm slightly nauseated by the story that you're spinning here.
I'm thinking of like old kids' TV shows where occasionally heart was a fifth power. Anyway, moving on. We talk about silly news. Let's get back to some more silly news. And first, it's some technical difficulties over at BBC Radio 4, because they have the famous Greenwich time signal, which is most popularly known as the Pips. Okay, fair enough. And like most popularly known, it's like, does it have a whole range of names? It's like the Greenwich Time Signal, the Pips, Steve.
They used to play with Gladys Knight. Obscure general knowledge. I hope I've got that right.
If not, I'll send a letter to those quizzes you're on.
This man doesn't know anything. don't take
disown him.
But
strip him of his belt. Regardless of whether or not you awarded him a belt, strip him of a belt.
But yeah, the absence of the six yacht tones happened at 5 PM BST at the start of the program PM, which surprised people. It's like one of those things. It's like, oh, we can just relax here until we hear those pips. I'm sure it's 5 o'clock around now.
So this sounds to me like a failed practical joke. The way this is supposed to work is you're supposed to go into the Radio 4 studio when there's somebody suitably dignified broadcasting, like maybe John Humphreys. That'd be quite good. If John Humphreys is currently broadcasting, then you walk in and go, John, emergency. The pips are broken, and it's a legal obligation that there must be some short punctual sounds. I'm sorry, you're going to have to make them. We're going to provide you with this duck call. And then you have to look at him stern in the eye, like I'm sorry, this is the best we can do. You're just going to have to do it. Your professionalism hinges on your using this duck imitation device to sound the 5 o'clock signal. But they couldn't go through with the latter bit, so it just ended up broken.
Do they not have like a censoring machine or something they could use to have like some beeps, like, their short swear words or something?
It only activates when you swear. Yes. So John Humphreys would actually have to sit there going, "I hope this works."
And he gets notoriously vulgar on the hour, exactly. So he's just spewing these profanities.
Apparently, the pips return 3 hours later. Like, oh, what did they get up to in that time? Like, did they possibly go off to the speaking clock?
I can tell you that, actually. They were manning a bench.
Oh, man, if you just sat down on the bench and it just went, beep, beep, beep.
You would probably think that there was a bomb going off. Let's be honest.
Oh, no, perhaps that's what benches should do. Not go off like
not,
a bomb.
Not bomb you.
But just, like, actually have like the news come on, so you sit down and it goes beep, beep, and gives you the news headlines. That sounds more useful in a
I'm
way.
I'm not sure that's something I want when I'm sitting down, you know.
I only listen to the news standing up.
Will each one be loaded with a different Radio 4 programme? So you'll have to go around the park sort of sitting down and going,
oh,
could
no.
you just a minute? Oh god, I just can't take any more Parsons.
Not quote unquote.
We're gonna have to sit somewhere else.
Yeah. Oh, but the problem is, like the Today programme, some people just hog the bench. It's quite a long programme. They're like, are you finished yet? And like, no. Only got support for the day. there you go. They do. The pips came back, so it's a happy story in the end.
Oh dear. Anyway, moving on.
Moving on, keeping the vague theme of technology. A teenager in China was quite desperate to get hold of an iPad 2 and went to something of extreme lengths and sold one of their kidneys.
That's complete madness, really.
I'm wondering how they thought they were going to get away with it, because apparently the story only came to light after the teenagers more became suspicious that they had scars and an iPad 2.
Like, there might be some connection between these.
Yeah, I mean,
well, and they said rather than this was probably unrelated incidents, clearly you have mutilated yourself in order to buy an iPad 2. That was the most sensible accusation.
It's kind of like, you're not going to have, like, you kept had a secret operation and coincidentally appear to have just gained like $3,000? Really?
Yeah. It looks like that. Yeah, it looks like you get $3,392 per kidney.
That's a lot more than the price of an iPad, though. So, iPad 2, rather. But
yeah.
I wonder what he did with the rest.
A laptop, apparently.
Could have bought himself a slightly cheaper kidney. the kidney market.
We've gone down from the deluxe kidney down to the...
You'd probably end up with somebody going, okay, I'm sorry, I'm out of stock of kidneys in this particular day. However, I can offer you 1.5 livers. Like, oh, well, you know, if you're going to bolster an organ, that's one of the better ones. I'd probably go for, like, 3 stomachs, and I could genuinely invoke the whole thing of a dessert stomach.
Great party trick, wouldn't it? I just take this grass from outside. What are you doing?
Don't cows have 4 stomachs, so you'd only 3/4 when they used to digest the grass.
Details.
Yeah. But if I need an extra one, I'll sell my gallbladder.
I was finding this incredibly bizarre. Of all the things to do, it's like you just automatically think, I need some extra money. What am I going to do? Perhaps I could, like, work? No, I shall go and sell a bit of my body.
How old is this guy?
17.
Oh, okay, well, he's old enough then.
Yeah, it's not like a 6-year-old kid going, I really want an iPad.
Like, you know, like anybody else that's obsessed with Apple. You know, go get a job and spend all your hard-earned money on flashy things that don't do anything. Controversial.
There we go. I think we've reached the end of that story.
This really is just a story where you go, huh, what an idiot. Next.
This one's more interesting. This is an injured walker in the Lake District was successfully airlifted by a search and rescue helicopter after they couldn't find him because his friend nearby took a photo on their mobile phone and sent this to the emergency services going, yeah, we're about here. So, yeah,
I'm actually quite surprised worked. I thought, like, if you stand on a random rock in a sort of British moorland and then take a photograph, I wouldn't have been too surprised if there were, you know, hundreds and hundreds of places that look exactly like that. Well, it turns out in this case you really can sort of go, aha, yes, yeah. I see where you are. I see where you're standing.
Crucially, it's not moorland.
Yes, it's it's those ones with hills. What do you call those?
Well, it's the Lake District. No, I think that sums it up pretty
much. Oh, those ones with lakes. Sorry. I always get those two confused.
But
my latest boating trip was a total disaster. But, I'm quite surprised it worked. But good on them.
Yeah.
Thought I had something to say.
It's one of those things where they're like very lucky that like the weather wasn't like it was actually normally in the Lake District.
Oh, okay. Where he'd just take a photo of 3 feet of grey and then go, yeah. Oh, it appears you're in a cloud. Well done.
But, apparently, all the members of the Wasdale Mountain Rescue Team have extensive knowledge of the area, so they were able to locate them easily. It's like, is this part of the training now? They're going to go, okay, in order to become a mountain rescuer, you have to go around and you have to be able to immediately recognize the vast majority of these hills. We've got a set of flashcards. We're going to show them to you.
Well, I think it's good to get at least some experience walking around the Lake District before you try and save people from it. No, it's no good turning up and being like, oh, I've never done this before. I think you've like your foot around and do stuff. This guy has basically forgotten how to walk in this case.
What's this weird thing that goes into the sky? I think it's a lake. I'll try and use it as such and see how that goes.
Apparently they didn't have the companion who was panicking, well, as you obviously do when your mate tumbles 82 feet down onto rocks, had no maps. Like, I'm a walker myself. And just the idea of this is just like, ah, oh dear, what were you doing up there?
He didn't have no maps. He had no relevant maps. He probably had like a tube map.
Data's head.
Sat there going, oh right, we can get home if only we can get to Cannon Street. Now then, how do we get to Cannon Street? Ah.
But, and another person described it as such a rescue operation is similar to finding a needle in a haystack. So we've therefore proved that we can find a needle in a haystack, provided that the needle is able to take a photograph of whereabouts in the haystack it is.
Excellent. It's an eye needle or something.
That sounds
eye
like...
Eye needle 2.
Does
your knitting, or your sewing rather, but, you know, does it in a more flashy style?
Well, anyway, I think this is a case of... showing just like the good things that technology can do, and I think it can like help compensate for human stupidity. If you've got any comments about technology compensating for human stupidity, or possibly any more explanations for where Radio 4 Pips went, you can get in touch with us at studio@camfm.co.uk on email, or by filling in the web form www.camfm.co.uk.
It's musical break stroke gather your thoughts time again, but we'll be back just after this.
On air, online and across Cambridge, your music, your Cam FM.
That was the Red Hot Chili Peppers with Under the Bridge. You're listening to Burst the Bubble live on Cam FM, a show where we look at the news and then we go a little bit further and just start talking about things tenuously related to the
start
news.
Making stuff up, basically.
And what we were talking about earlier was... something the robot throwing javelins of fire. We asked for some more stuff about that. So, and we mentioned possibility of a Javelin of Heart, referring to the kids' TV show Captain Planet.
Yeah.
And we've in fact had had some emails about that. One person says, the weird thing is that the kid with the power of heart was constantly reading the other Planeteers' thoughts. So there's someone ruining my childhood by pointing out how horrific it was.
And spoiling Captain Planet.
Yeah. And also, someone else pointing out that the film The Fifth Element did validate the Captain Planet theory of elements.
It's a well-known academic treatise on on classical elements.
The theory of elements. Well, so we were also talking about talking benches. And one suggestion that we've had from Jasmine is, I think a Dalek offering you a cup of tea when you sat down would be good. I think that would be ultimately disappointing on multiple levels, because you would not, in fact, be meeting a Dalek. And also, you would not, in fact, be getting a cup of tea.
And also, you might die. Like, it seems like, given the number of old people who frequent National Trust properties, you're going to be, you know, you're going to be taking away at least one a day who went, oh, thank goodness, a bench. Would you like some tea?
And that has got to be possibly the worst impression of a Dalek I have ever heard. Well done there.
Thank you.
But, yeah, there's like tapping into their childhood fears. Oh, and one person pointing out, getting a needle out of a haystack, use a magnet. What if it's non-magnetic? What if it's not made out of iron or steel?
It doesn't really generalise to the climbers on the mountain, though, does it? I mean, that would be, if you got like a massive magnet, people would just think you were some sort of crazy person.
No, but if the climbers on the wheel had a map and a magnet, by which I mean a compass, then they might not have needed the photographic evidence to tell the rescue services where they were in the first place. So I'm going to take it this person is managing to refer to both the needle and the haystack and the Lost Mountaineers.
I think it's flagrantly false that you couldn't rescue the Mountaineers with that, though. I mean, it just means that you need the Acme Rescue Service, who can fly along with a massive horseshoe magnet.
And Wiley Coyote. Okay,
guys, for no particular reason, can I recommend that you hang on to your house keys, coins, belt buckles, anything that would get you into trouble at the airport, just hold on to that quite hard.
There we go. We're moving on to some more foolish news. And we're going to the seemingly obligatory story about cute animals. And this is in Devon. An abandoned penguin chick is being reared by a puppet made out of a black rubber glove. It looks ridiculous.
It really looks terrifying. It's got like... There's like five pipe cleaners on each eye, the eyebrow. Like bright yellow pipe cleaners. These scary red eyes. That's terrifying. That's the stuff of my nightmare.
Also, on this picture, it looks like the person who's in this glove, they're just his index and middle fingers coming out of the glove. And it looks like he's just kind of squeezed the poor penguin's chick beak. And it's like, it doesn't look like he's rearing him so much as going, "He will not escape my clutches."
Is that what happens in the wild when a penguin tries to get it? Yeah, it's...
Doesn't this mean that... So, this glove thing is representing a penguin, but the penguin is only, like, about a foot tall or so. And it has inexorably attached to it a human being, making no great effort to disguise himself. It's not like the guy next to him is, like, draped in one of those cloaks you could use to take photographs in the Victorian era or anything. He's just sitting there mugging at the chick, as you might suppose, as he needs to see what he's doing. Which means that to reintroduce this thing to the wild, you need to scale that up. You need a 9-foot bloke following penguins around, just sort of reaching behind their back, as though he might be puppeteering.
Yeah, they are trying to... They are saying, yes, sadly, it does mean that the penguin will see the keeper, but it'll also see the glove, which has the shape and colour of an adult penguin. No, it doesn't, frankly. It might have the colour, but... I have never seen in any photo of a penguin anything looking quite like that.
It's a slightly malformed penguin, really. The back of it's got like spoilers on the back of its head, where the arm's going in.
It's a penguin that's just been involved in a very sad accident. Got slightly squashed into an odd shape.
Where's the body of this thing? Is it just a floating penguin head?
A floating penguin head with a human 3 feet to its right. That is the model we're using.
If I were a little penguin, I'd see through that.
the squashed penguins thing isn't too bad, though, because presumably this is a rescue centre. So the main thing they deal in is penguins that have been run over by steamrollers, or, you know, like, had a nasty time with a bus or whatever. You know,
it's just a zoo. The question is, where did they get the egg from?
I think it was an abandoned egg.
Yeah, but why, yeah. Have they just managed to happen to find an egg somewhere? Like, oh, well, the other penguins have gone.
I think it was so that it was being raised in the zoo, but the couple that were supposed to be raising it in the zoo decided they couldn't be bothered anymore, and so they pinched the egg. Leave it or raise it.
I like the fact
we've got this rubber glove puppet, and we've got to do something with it.
I like the fact that the type of penguin is a macaroni penguin. It's kind of like, just like, what? And then they felt that they had to make, like, things that were the glove puppet out of things that were around the house, like macaroni.
They missed a trick there. Should have done that for the eyebrows. Any penguins with a sense of irony, or
the other thing they're doing to make it know what's going on in the wild, well, get it used to being around other penguins, is they're playing the chick a recording of the sounds made by a macaroni penguin group. He's like, are we entering them to Eurovision next year? There's a macaroni penguin group.
So I believe the guys who made the model are currently waiting around for a variety of different penguin species to evolve. They would particularly like the fuzzy felt penguin, which would enable them to, you know, use the full gamut of their modelling techniques. The Airfix penguin is still regarded as fairly unlikely.
Lego penguin as well.
They get very upset and fall to pieces, those ones.
Lego penguin actually compatible with the Duplo penguin. Not strictly speaking, distinct species.
But moving on, just a quick detour. We just had some emails. Apparently, you're
having a go at my Dalek impression. Yeah. I know it was rubbish. Yeah. Bendy had a go at it live on air, but no, that wasn't enough. Apparently, it sounded like Brian Blessed.
That's from John, who also said that he'd sell his kidney for a Brian Blessed Dalek.
Can do. It appears I can do a Diet Brian Blessed impression, and I'm pretty sure I can find a dustbin, plonk it on my head, and attach a plunger to it. So
that would be really scary. Stop! All right, is anybody going to write in now about my my Brian Blessed impersonation?
Sounded like a Dalek.
But another person said, spoilers on the back of the penguin's head. Makes me think of penguins, which tell you what's going to happen in the next episode of Doctor Who. CJ,
I hate it when penguins do that to me.
Oh no! Sometimes you get that on the BBC. You get the ident where you had the penguins swimming around in a circle. And like, perhaps if it's just before an episode of Doctor Who, and it's like, and now on Doctor Who, the Doctor has to face, and you're like, no, don't tell me what the Doctor.
It
has
zooms
to face.
Out, and the penguins spell out what's going to happen in the episode.
So would the spoilers on the penguins be attached by mankind, or would it be an evolved-in tendency to contrive dramatic plots and then spoil them? is this like, does most of college for writers actually consist of capturing penguins and reading the backs of their heads and going, that's a potential spoiler for a plot which I don't think anybody has yet written. I shall write the plot that spoils. It's the only way to explain some of the more completely insane TV shows, like Button Moon, for example. You can't really spoil Button Moon. It's all pretend.
No, don't tell them that. Oh, there goes the rest of my childhood.
Moving on to haircuts, in fact. A barber in Putney hopes that the 526 haircuts he completed in 24 hours is a new world record.
Why would you get your haircut in the course of such an insane stunt? I mean, you know what's basically happening here is the guy has revved up a chainsaw and is running down a series of people quaking in trepidation, sort of giving them a technical haircut in the sense that he did cut at least one hair belonging to each participant.
And that works out, what, three minutes per haircut? Is that?
That's some pretty slow chainsaw operation.
But, No, I think the reason why people might have said yes is he did the cuts for free. And I take a free haircut.
Might be accidentally decapitated. Not going to look very good.
There wasn't
free.
There was no decapitation. although worryingly, Mr. Salahi of ANN Style Salon said afterwards, "I'm only just standing." I think that's more worrying than the chainsaw, frankly.
This guy's got scissors near your ears.
Well, also, the evidence, he was filmed for the entire 24 hours and had several independent witnesses. That must have been a boring job, just standing there going, oh, yeah.
Yep, that's a haircut. Yep.
Yep.
We find this hairdresser guilty.
how do you define a haircut, though? It's just like how much hair comes off or something? Like, wait, no,
run up to somebody and go, okay. Shrunk. There you go. You know, that should be that. Assuming that was hair.
Do they have somebody that runs down the back with a mirror to show them the backs of their heads afterwards? Anyone dissatisfied, it doesn't count.
There had to be a noticeable difference in the appearance of those who came in with long hair, and the people who had short cuts had to have hair at least 1 centimetre long to start with. Yeah. So there you go. They thought about this. People at the Guinness World Records obviously have far too much time on their hands.
So do you think
their reason d'etre?
Do you think his rival hairdressers were lurking in the line asking for difficult haircuts? So they're sort of going like, perm, please.
Mohican.
Make me look like Brad Pitt.
Make me look like Brian Blessed.
Make me look like a Dalek. It's a very difficult haircut.
Yes. We just have to get all the hair together and extend it.
Stick flashing lights on the top of it and a big plunger. There we go, sir. You'll be the envy of all your friends.
Someone's pointing out you have to factor in the malarkey with little towels. Someone's obviously going to like rather upmarket hairdressers then, because I don't recall any little towels.
They just give me a tissue at the end.
Yeah.
Ready.
Now, what you do there is you actually do a broom-mounted Dyson Airblade.
What? Explain.
Dyson Airblade.
Explain.
Dyson Airblade, like, you know, substitute for towels, and then broom-mounted so you can move it around with you. You can sort of wield this thing like a crude weapon, or in this case, a crude haircut aiding device.
Stop or I will dry your hands to death.
I'm assuming the towels are being used for drying things. Otherwise that makes no sense. And also my haircuts have clearly been deprived in the past, as I have suffered no malarkey with little towels. I have suffered no little towels, malarkerous or otherwise. I'm going to write down the word malarkerous. Anyway, carry on.
Moving on to international story. We like our international stories. We're going to Texas, where some buses have banned saggy trousers. These are buses which already insist that you wear a shirt and shoes, but now they say that you can't have trousers that expose the person's underwear.
There is a reason why it's called underwear. Oh, I guess we call them underpants, maybe, but over there they just call them pants, don't they? No, I'm getting that the wrong way around.
Be very careful about that before you eye the guy opposite on the subway and say, "Hey, buddy, nice pants."
And someone just pointed out from the last story that the malarkey stops the hair going down the back of your neck.
Oh, that, yes.
I've never had towels. I've had this weird kind of plastic thing which resembles one of those things you put on the floor of your car. In material,
it may exactly be one of those.
Except it's like shaped it to go around the neck rather than in a footwell. So there we go. We're informative.
This is an educational show.
Well, yes. Going back to the saggy trousers, riders don't want to see a person dressed like that on a public bus, said Joan Hunter, communications manager for the T, which is the FT Worth Transportation Authority. The T sounds like...
It moves Worth around.
Yes. Yeah, the T sounds like a really lazy superhero. Can't be bothered to think of an entire name. And so, who are you? I am the T.
It sounds like Mr. T's car. Like, we're going to go out and...
in the T.
In the T. Drive around, you know, doing whatever Mr. T does on a Saturday night, I don't know.
He's going to run out of names for his accoutrement quite quickly.
I mean, the like, S. Okay, we'll move on to Greek letters now. Alpha.
The other T, Atty, some T or another.
And it gets really awkward when he actually just wants a hot caffeinated beverage. Viewed from certain leaves. Another one. So I just like noticed the first day this policy was in place, about 50 people were removed for improper trousers, which makes it sound like, ah, oh, these trousers are dreadfully improper. They've been a bit rude, frankly.
They're arrested for suboptimal sartorial states.
So these are trousers which just have like suggestive comments written on them. So it seems kind of reasonable, but I wonder how are they defining underpants? I mean, it seems like if I wanted to defy the law on this, I would don don a pair of underpants. I would then don some middle pants, which was sort of, they would probably be like leggings or something, and then I would don some outer pants, which is to say, you know, the offending trousers. And then, ha!
I point out, it's not a rule in the state of Texas. The state of Texas has not banned saggy trousers. It's just the FT Worth Transportation Authority.
You know that stands for Fort, right?
Ah, okay. I was wondering, like, FT, like, not, I can't think of any military ranks.
It moves around the specific usefulness of the Financial Times.
Yeah. I was trying to work out what it was, because I was like, you know, it's not Saint, it's not like anything like Road, it's not a military rank. What is it?
And now you know. It's an educational show, but mostly for your education.
Oh, dear.
But I think this is ultimately reasonable, not because of any sort of particular prudishness concerning trousers, but mainly for the fact that if the original fashion is removed, then so too will be the middle class kids who do this in Birmingham. I'm mainly basing this on sort of I was walking around a Marks and Spencer's. And there was like a 55-year-old lady or so, towing her sort of presumably sort of 16-17-year-old son, who had trousers so low that they could no longer reasonably be considered trousers. They were just sort of a lower leg skirt, sort of the opposite of a miniskirt, in the sense that it governs that area which a miniskirt doesn't. Like if you wore both them and a mini skirt, you would have 100% non-redundant coverage.
you basically have a skirt.
Yes. Yeah. You would have reconstructed the skirt idiom. Out of a mini skirt and some stupid trousers.
Uh-huh. And we've just got time for another story, which is geologists are pressing for the recognition of a human epoch, which they're going to call the Anthropocene.
Ah, yes. This is the phase when the archaeologists get really confused. And they start digging up like a Corby trouser press, and because they go,
what? "This was a weird mammal, and, this one."
And why? What would you possibly want to do with this stupid, useless object?
But the thing is, this is a geological era which is still existing. They're just kind of getting in ahead of the game here. All the other geological eras only got named like, geologically speaking, very recently. And like we're going, well, we were a bit rubbish at naming those. It took us a while. So why don't we name this one in advance?
They want to get in before the deadly robots get in and, you know, start setting all the houses on fire and then take over and just name it something like the Silly Period or something.
Also you want to get in there and write your own story. Because in the event that we get conquered by aliens, then it will be called like the stupid weak flesh being age, and we don't want it known by that. We don't want them dancing on our grave in the actual textbooks about us.
Yeah, it's like it's okay that they've invaded and like wiped out our entire existence, but at least we'll have a decent name for when we were around.
Well, it'd be like Latin, wouldn't it? I mean, you know, there's probably some cunning Latin double entendres in there, just in case anybody should ever successfully conquer the Roman Empire and then raise up a new civilization which is uses some other stupider language.
Stupider than Latin was that?
Yes.
Is there such a thing?
I think the Romans are laughing at us from the afterlife at the stupid things they're making us say, but which we just don't know anymore.
All the in-jokes they've managed to get embedded in common language.
Right, exactly, yeah. Similarly, Greeks and medical terminology. They're all actually just dirty jokes.
One last nice thing at the end of this thing. Anthropologists and archaeologists talking about this said, "I always feel a new epoch is upon us, and we should come to terms with the implication for the planet." And the quote is, "We broke it, we bought it, we own it. Now we've got to take responsibility for it. We bought the planet Earth." apparently.
Have you never heard of the song "The Man Who Sold the World"?
We've got kind of squatters' rights, I think, haven't we? At some point, the rightful owner will show up and go, "Oi, what are you doing?"
We came into possession of it. Like if we were going to sell it, it would have to be at, like, in some, like, intergalactic pub, and they go, "Oh, yeah, there's a planet." So like fell off the back of a Cosmos, didn't it? There we go. I'd like to finish off there. I'd like to thank Jonathan and Chris.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it's glad.
I graciously accept your thanks.
Thank Chris, who's here every week. And I'd like to thank everyone who's emailed in for all your suggestions about different types of javelins and terrifying people by Dalek voices when you sit down on benches. And I'd also like to thank Chris for his failed Dalek impression.
My Brian Blessed impression and my separate Dalek impression, which I sadly cannot reverse.
And we'll be back in 2 weeks' time. See you around.